Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
This week on Dueling Review, we review Seamus, the famous, from Action Lab Entertainment. Adventure is only limited by a young boy's imagination as Seamus and his snarky cat Fitcher lead a crew of affable pirates in search of the legendary treasure of Gunner Forkbeard. It's a race full of booby traps, monstrous creatures, and humor as Seamus and Fitcher pit themselves against Captain Barracuda and his nefarious crew of the Grey Thorn. From the high seas to the depths of the Dragon's Head Isle, he will take all their wits and courage to save the day and themselves in this epic tale. So this week's book is a little bit different than one we have done. I don't know, it's been a while since we've done a children's book. The last time I remember us doing a children's book, I got really, really angry because it had a stupid ending. And I was like, is this supposed to continue or what was going on? So this week, Seamus the Famous from Action Lab Entertainment kind of had me a little nervous going into it because I wasn't sure what to expect. Now, this is definitely an all ages, or actually I shouldn't say all ages, is definitely targeted towards kids, I would say 6+, and maybe even 4+ if you're reading it with them.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, younger kids could definitely get this, and there isn't a whole lot of giant language or anything, you know, I would say it's a problem.
No, it's pretty straightforward. Here's this kid, his mom's throwing out a bunch of his junk, and he's like, no, mom, don't throw out my treasure, and he and his cat go and have an imaginary adventure as they're going through all the junk in the garbage bag, and it turns out this time it's a pirate adventure. What'd you think, Matthew?
Well, he's got a talking cat. It's a sassy talking cat.
Yeah.
I was struck in the initial bits where I'm like, okay, wait. Is the cat talking? Can the cat actually talk?
I think it's one of those Calvin and Hobbes things.
See, and that's the thing. That was the first thing that came to me, not merely can the cat talk, but the overall balance here of, hey, we're having, you know, a kid and his pet and an extended fantasy story with Spaceman Spiff. And that's cool. I mean, Bill Watterson has been retired for a while. It's good to see someone else on that.
Yeah, but
turf.
In this case, the cat is actually a real cat. He just doesn't talk when the mom's around.
Well, yeah, but cats can't actually talk, and they're generally not.
I beg to differ. My cat talks to us plenty.
Is your cat an anthropomorphic cat?
Can be sometimes.
Size and proportions.
Sometimes, yeah. Depends on how he's sitting and what he's sitting on.
And how much you've had to drink.
No, I don't drink.
Cats can't stand up. Walk around and go, hey, I'm a cat.
So you need to check this out. Go and look for Two-Legged Cat on Twitter, but I'm sure it's on a bunch of other places. But it's this cat that I don't know if it lost its front two legs or if it was born without its front two legs. But this cat stands up and walks around like a person, like straight up, not like even hunched over, you know, waddled over, straight up like a human, just walking around. It is the weirdest, most inspiring cat video you will see when you go and check out this cat video. So
I don't think it's real.
No, it's totally real. But so in this, though, it's a fun little adventure of a kid with imagination, probably having imaginary conversations with his cat, and they're going out and looking for pirate treasure. and having all sorts of adventures, and there's a little love interest for the little boy and an orphan home that needs the money and going out and finding the treasure and having a mean pirate, Mr. Captain Barracuda, chasing them the entire time.
Borrowing Tintin's shark underground submarine.
Yeah, it's all good, man. You didn't like it?
I didn't hate it. I liked it just fine. I feel like this is a good, solid, one-shot adventure book. And I feel like what this really could be for some unsuspecting child is a gateway to comic books and, you know, sequential storytelling.
I mean, maybe even not a gateway, but just something to entertain, you know, especially if they've already read other books, you know, from this creator or from others. It shows the power of imagination. It has a good adventure. It is, you know, it's Treasure Island. It's all your piratey adventures, high seas adventures, all mixed into one in a kid's point of view, which I think is fine. I don't, you know, if you're saying, oh, they're borrowing from Tintin and Calvin and Hobbes, how dare they? I'm like, that's pretty much a lot of tropes. So I would say that's perfectly okay at this point.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think that, you know, with any story, especially at this point in the history of sequential fiction, any story is going to have its antecedents. And I feel like sometimes calling them out is better. That's what I think they were doing with the submarine shaped like a fish. I think this is very much a, hey, we know we're on this turf. It's like you write a story that sounds like Stephen King and you throw in a reference to Shawshank Prison and everybody goes, okay, you know you're doing it. It's good. Yeah, I like this fine. It's just, I mean,
well, tell me what your apprehensions are. Try to explain.
I don't really have apprehension. I am not the target audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I am an old person. This is a good book. I really appreciated the bits where the cat was teasing him about having a crush on the little girl.
Yeah.
You know, I like the stuff where, we're going to go off and we're going to be pirates, and they transition slowly from standing on the lawn with broken swords into being fully dressed pirates on a giant pirate ship. That was neat.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of this. I liked the way that there was a little tiny bit of physics in him trying to take out the thing. You know, there's even a nard punch in here.
Yeah, there is.
Which, did you
like the fact that
for a more modern audience?
Did you like the fact that the cat was like, oh yeah, I can handle this, and then goes in and ninja kicks all the ninjas and bashes up all the rastabouts and all that?
I like the fact that the cat also won the dartboard, pirate darts competition.
Yeah, with the ninja
against
man.
A literal ninja with nothing but a spoon and some lateral thinking. Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun times. Really, I think this is something that, you know, again, you say you're not the target audience, Matthew, but I bet you are, because comics are for everybody and all ages. And I think that this, if you have a young child who is looking for something to do and something to read, I think this is good stuff. My youngest, who's almost 9 in a couple of weeks, he enjoys reading these kind of books. Probably this one might be a little bit too young for him. But we've talked about before how he loves Captain Underpants and Dogman and some of the DC YA books that we've been talking about recently over at MajorSpoilers.com. And, you know, this is something that if he were 5-6 years old, he would be eating this up. I think this is a perfect book to come out right now, especially as you have maybe kids at home looking for something to do. This is a digital first comic, so you can get it easily on Comixology, and providing that you have, you know, an iPad or an Android device or even a computer that the kid could sit at and scroll through the pages. I think this is good stuff. I think this is something that a kid would read. This is a good thing to keep them reading and keep them engaged. And certainly you have enough funny business going on that will keep them entertained without it getting too boring. And I think this is appropriate for boys or girls. I don't think this is specifically targeting one gender over another. And so I think right now, especially as my son had a conversation with mom saying, oh, he just reads those comic books all the time. And then both the boys in unison were basically like, reading comics is reading. And I think if you want to get your kid reading, this is a good place to do it. So for me, I'm giving this a thumbs up. I think this is something that You know, you should add to your collection if you have a kid. This is something you can sit down and read with them if they're younger. And this is something that you can let them read on their own if they're a little bit older. So the only thing that I thought was maybe a little bit too dry, or maybe a little bit not to my liking, is too much of the continual telegraphing of stuff, like the little crab on the submarine where they had to show it like multiple times to say, hey, kids, remember that evil little crab is a barnacle on the back of a submarine.
Barnacle submarine back.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah.
He was in a Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I like it. I mean, it's an okay book. The thing that I say and will stand by is not really the target audience. I'm not someone who's going to go, yeah, this is pretty awesome. But I will say that the art and the storytelling is very clear. It's very good. I feel like it would work for a very young kid. It would also work for, you know, I think you could get up probably up to 14, 15 easily, depending on if you have the right-minded kid. And I think the best part about it is that it is a pirate adventure,
mm-hmm.
which means that we are, you know, opening up, hey, in our next adventure, what's Seamus going to be next? Is he going to be a cowboy? Is he going to be a Knigget? Is he going to be Rod Serling wandering around and opining about people's dooms? There are a lot of things you can do. And if you have, you know, this main character and his fantasy stuff, you could do several different volumes of this, and each one be Seamus and his cat doing something new in a new genre. So,
yeah, and I think that's what they're kind of hinting at, is that this can be an ongoing series depending on how sales go. And
right.
So I think that, yeah, we probably will see Seamus the famous cowboy, or Seamus the famous knight, or Seamus the famous aeronautical pilot.
Right. Seamus the famous reality TV show host. Seamus, the famous baseball commissioner.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, they can do all sorts of different things with this. I really think that you guys might want to go and check it out. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There is the Major Spoilers Dueling Review podcast for this week as we continue into a month of no comics. How is this possible, Matthew? How is it possible that they can say that there are no comics, and yet every week now, we have had comic reviews up on the Major Spoilers website. We've had comic reviews on the Dueling Review. We've had comic reviews on the Major Spoilers podcast. How is that possible?
Well, my friend, I'll tell you. It's because Major Spoilers is about comics and not about big two superhero books or, you know, things that are currently on hiatus. There are creators. There are digital first books. There are collections. There are any number of ways to get a comic fix. And honestly, for my money, supporting some of the creators who are still providing those books, who are putting out the digital first comics, especially now, I think is how we're going to have a healthy industry when we get back to, you know, whatever it is that becomes normal again.
Yeah, I'm just
comics are there, man.
I'm a little bothered by, and I'm not trying to point fingers, because when you point a finger, you know, there's force pointing back at you, or however that goes.
Not if you do it right. You can like swing them around to where they're pointing in all wacky directions. So it's everybody else's fault but yours.
But I'm a little disturbed and troubled by a bunch of other sites that are just like, there's no comics, ladies and gentlemen. There are no comics out there. You cannot get new comics right now.
That's crazy.
And they seem to be very dismissive of the fact that Comixology and Amazon and all the other digital comic book services have digital comics that are coming out. And there are many publishers, both large and small. DC released another digital first comic this week. Dark Horse has some digital comics out this week. The Disney's Pixar Onward Manticore story. Did you watch Onward yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it'll probably come around at some point.
Okay. Viz Media had new comics out this week. Kodansha Comics had stuff out this week. AAM Marcosia had a bunch of comics out this week. Action Lab is just like, hey, a digital first comic is still a comic book, and released like half a dozen or more comics this week. Archie had new stuff this week. Self-Made Hero had stuff out this week. Seven Seas. Third World Studios, Matthew, had the new Super Fogies number 9 out this week for you. And even Zenoscope Entertainment and Vault Comics had comics out this week.
And I think what it really comes down to is the question of, are you interested in comics or are you interested in Spider-Man and Green Lantern? The answer to either is fine, and it's not a judgment call on anybody if you aren't into anything besides Spider-Man and Green Lantern, but what it really comes down to is when you say there are no new comics, you're wrong. You right. need to broaden your view and your perspective and maybe your definition of comics.
Yeah, I do. I kind of agree with you on that, in that digital comics, just like my kids were telling my wife that, hey, reading comics is still reading and audiobooks is still reading. Yeah. Digital comics is still comics. And
that's
so
correct.
I would encourage all of you out there, if you want to see a healthy return of industries, if you want to see a bunch of smaller publishers stick around after this, then go check out what those digital offerings are over at comiXology.com. If you're trying to see what kind of comics are out this week, we do have over at majorspoilers.com. You can find the new comic book releases. I'm now putting them out on Wednesday morning instead of Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, because I have to scour through the comiXology site of what's coming out this week. And I'm purposefully avoiding trade paperback stuff in this collection, but I am putting like OGNs and trades in there, volumes of stuff. Like if there's a Kodansha, for example, has a lot of volume stuff, but it's manga stuff that's all collected. Viz Media has a bunch of stuff that's like comes out in the graphic novel format and not the individual issue format. So that's whenever you look at this list, and this list is bigger this week than it was last week. And I guarantee you the list is going to continue to grow over the next weeks and months as we continue to work our way through this situation. But a lot of comics. Now, there's stuff that you may not care about. You may not care about Vamplade. You may not care about the manga stuff. I mean, there's some adult stuff, too, that came out this week. You may not care about The Mermaid Prince Volume 3, but it's out this week, and it is a comic. And so when people tell you, hey, there are no comics, they're wrong. There are comics. And I agree with you, Matthew, that we need to continue to expand our definition of comics beyond capes and tights, as I've kind of been doing these last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, as we move away from the Batmans and the Spider-Mans, and we focus more on how do we tell good stories in a sequential art format. And there's so much out there for people to love and enjoy. And I'm hoping that for all of you out there who are listening, I know we have a shorter show this week, but I know for all of you who are out there listening, I'm hoping you're checking out some of this new stuff. I'm glad that there is a push on some of these other sites who apparently don't know that digital comics exist to say, hey, it's new to you comic book day, meaning go back into your dollar bin or your quarter bin and pull out a comic book from, 6 months ago that you didn't read. And let's make that a new comic book day. No, that's what they're calling it. It's called new to you comic book day.
First of all, that's just retro review. I've been doing that for 17 years, and it's fun, but it's not new comics.
Yeah, well, it's new to you comic book day.
Stop saying it. Stop saying it like you are number 6, because I know you're doing that, and I know you're doing it on purpose.
No, it's new to you comic book day.
I will get out of this chair.
How would you say it?
I would not say it. I think it's a silly thing to say. You know what I would say? Retro review every Sunday morning, baby. That's what I would say.
But yeah, when you see other sites doing that kind of stuff, maybe respond to them and say, hey, man, what about all the actual new comics that are coming out this week?
And
see what they do.
That I loved?
Let me guess. Let me go over to the majorspoilers.com website
Major
really
spoilers
quick.
Website. Okay.
Majorspoilers.com. That's where you want to go. And I'm going to go into the reviews section.
Okay.
And let's see what we had this week. We had Matthew wrote Space Brothers.
Space 353. Brothers.
Sweetheart number 2.
Yep.
Did you do South of Yonder?
I did.
Okay.
And also Villain Seeking Hero.
Villain Seeking Hero. I'm going to bet Villain Seeking Hero was your favorite one.
My favorite was actually Space Brothers.
Space Brothers. Okay. 353. Now, is this the first time you've ever read Space Brothers?
It is, and it's the first time I've ever read anything by this creator.
So you would say that this is new to you.
Man, it was good.
Was it good?
I might never have looked at an issue of Kodansha's Space Brothers, honestly, if we had not been at a point where we were at the lower number of digital-only comics, fewer things to, sort through and sift through. Because usually my mind will be cut by, oh, wait, is that a Captain Ultra?
Mm-hmm.
But Space Brothers was really good. And it was most of the issue is conversations, because there are two brothers trapped on the moon. They're the titular Space Brothers. And then there's Mission Control trying to figure out, how can we get them out? How can they get out and get back to Earth safely? And most of the issue is just like discussions about, how are we going to do this? Well, we have the mech, but the mech isn't tall enough. Well, we have the other mech. Okay, what if we stack them? No, it can't hold it. It only holds 12,000 pounds. But they're on the moon. It's 1/6 gravity. And now, so they're coming up with this really cool plan. And at the end, the astronauts are like, hey, that's a really cool plan. And they do this cool virtual handshake where a guy on the moon holds out his hand. Uh-huh. And a guy at Mission Control holds out his hand, and then the artist puts those panels together, the magic of comics.
There you go.
To where it looks like they're shaking hands, but they're actually 24,000 miles apart.
It's now, amazing. Have they been stuck on the moon for 353 issues?
I don't think so. I haven't read all 353 issues.
Okay. So here's the thing. Matthew is over the moon on this. Head over to majorspoilers.com to find out. See what I did? He gave this a really high ranking. You can go over to majorspoilers.com and read the full review for yourself. Find out what his bottom line was on this. But here's the best thing.
Yeah.
99 cents, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
You didn't hear me wrong. You don't have to fine tune the tuning on your podcast. You heard me right. Not $3.99, not $4.99, not even $1.99, Alterna Comics, but 99 cents. Yep. This is a new comic that is out this week.
Yep. That is good. And that's the thing. That's the thing that's really important to remember is when I picked up Villain Seeking Hero, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Really, really liked Villain Seeking Hero. I enjoyed lots of South of Yonder. I enjoyed Sweetheart. And by looking at those books and going, hey, oh my gosh, I forgot, you know, there's these other companies. There are the digital only books. There are options above and beyond the things that your general people, you know, out there on the internet writing lists of 10 stupid heroes that all feature Cypher and Matter Eater Lad. Not that I'm bitter. Might be saying, well, there's no new comics, but there are. Yeah. There are. And you, faithful spoilerite, you know, because you're here. Well, you're with us. And we're vibing.
Here is the cool thing, too, right? I mean, I think Kodansha has been around for quite a while, but they've only recently started reaching out to us, and we've been talking about some of their stuff. You know, the nice thing about this is, and if you are someone who is like, hey, I didn't know that there was this Far Sector comic book. This is new to me, so this is great. I'm going to read this Far Sector series from DC Comics during this hiatus or during this break. And that's great. That helps. That doesn't help that series going forward if you're going back and reading issue number one, because those sales are already a year old and DC's already made their decision about comics going forward, especially if it involves Far Sector. But the plus is that you do get to see a lot of comics from publishers you may not have ever been exposed to before.
Right.
And in this case, Matthew has found a new favorite comic in the form of Space Bros.
Space Brothers.
Yeah. Cool. All right. If you are, hey, hello to D. Harshman, to J. Michael T., Kevin 11, Mark Smith 72, Omega Lazarus, and the True Elect are all hanging out in the Major Spoilers Discord, listening to us talk this week about Seamus the Famous. And hopefully they're having a good time in our conversation, although everyone must be really into what we're talking about, because some nights they're all a chatter, but tonight they must be hanging on our every word about the difference between new to you comic book day and new digital comic book day. So,
stop it.
Somebody came up with that. You know that they're saying that in their office. New to you. Oh, that's brilliant. I'm going to do that and make a hashtag and see if I can get it trending on the Twitter. New to you, comic book day. I'm so clever with myself. You're not really. Anyway. That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Review. We would love to have you come in and join the conversation with us every Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, right in our Discord. You do need to link your Patreon account to that. I do have someone just popped me a DM in my Twitter saying, how do I connect a Patreon account with a Discord account? Kevin 11, get on that, please. Please post something in Twitter. Kevin 11 is the brain of making sure all these things are working together. I think it was Kevin Levin that did that. So be looking for that if you don't know how to do it. I'm pretty sure there is a post somewhere on the Patreon page that lists that, as well as a bunch of other things. But we would love for you to come and hang out with us in the chat and listen to us live. Again, every Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And as soon as we have physical comics back and we know what's coming out each week, we will certainly return to voting, which will allow you to pick what comic we review next week. Sometimes it'll be good, sometimes it'll be bad, but it'll always be entertaining. And you will always be able to hear Matthew say,
"Say no to drugs, because drugs make your teeth fall out and get really ugly, and you won't have any friends."
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.